I don't have any clue what I did with my notes, so I'm sure it'll be okay. What would be a sermon without an illustration, hey? No, but, you know, I do take this seriously. I get up in the morning and I think, oh, man, what do I have to say, Lord, this morning? And then as you start get going and you're praying, is this like the Lord really helps you? And whenever there's difficult things in our life, the Lord does want to help us. So he's never far from any one of us. There we go. You know, I think the thing that kind of hit my heart this morning was, you know, I want to say some things that encourage each one of you. And I think the Lord wants each of us to be encouraged. And I think there's some basic scriptures that I'm going to share this morning that will be helpful just in encouraging us. And if I could ask you, Christina, could you just go out to my car and just see if I just left my notes just hanging somewhere? But, you know, when we come to Christ, the non-Christian world thinks 10 commandments and that there's a measure. I'm really sorry. It's in my coat pocket. People think of the 10 commandments and they think, man, one day I'm going to measure up to what God has for me, or maybe I already measure up to what God has for me, or I will never measure up to what God has for me, or they're not even aware that there really is a God that has a standard for us. But for believers, we do away with this, because in Christ fulfilled the law for us. And so there's no possible way we can fulfill all 10 of the commandments. And especially when Jesus said, not just the outward commandments, but the inward ones. All the outward commandments, thou shalt not kill, includes thinking, I'm not going to kill that person, or I want to kill that person for what they're doing to me. You know, maybe not literally kill, but it's not only the outward, but the inward. And so it's very important to realize Jesus has put us in a very honored place. In Christ, we already measure up to the standard God has for us. And it's like in 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, hallelujah. We have been made the righteousness of God in him. So we're in a whole new place. And in fact, that's kind of even hard to accept in some ways, that we're forgiven. You know, we know how hard it is to forgive people sometimes, and sometimes in the past, we hadn't forgiven people. And we come to Christ, or we come to the realization, we got to forgive people. But to realize that God has forgiven us of everything is just amazing. And then he adds a couple different layers to that. He says, you're my sons and daughters. You know, he brings us into his family. We're no longer outsiders. I mean, before we came to Christ, we weren't his sons and daughters. But we became his sons and daughters. We were adopted into his family through Jesus Christ. So right away, God is lifting us really kind of to a new level. And he even goes one step farther and he says, I've made you kings and priests unto our God. Hallelujah. You know, I can't tell you, like as a kid, I'd be watching these movies, and you know, where there's kings and knights, and I just vision myself as a king, you know, going into battle or doing this or ruling a kingdom. And Jesus has called us kings unto our God. In fact, I got a couple scriptures for you. I just happen to have them right here. He says, Ephesians 3:11, this perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father. So if Tom is the Father God sitting over there with his iPhone, checking his emails from all the church family, you know, if you try to get to the president, there's layers you got to go to. Oh, I got to stop at this checkpoint. Oh, I got to go over here and show my clearance. Oh, I've got to wait here for 10 minutes. No, it says that we have free access anytime. Wow, God surely had this plan in place even before the ages started. See, that's amazing grace. That's amazing love, that we can go and have free access to him. And not as a worm, not as a lowly sinner, but he calls us kings. We have free access as kings. And I just want to say that to encourage you that he really wants you to rule and reign in this life. He really wants things to go well for you. And I know that each one of us are earnestly desiring to know how to do that. And we're taking the steps that we know to get to that place. So that's exciting. We have free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. So hallelujah. And then Romans 5:17, it says, death once held us in its grip by the blunder of one man. Death reigned as a king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our royal or our regal freedom through the gift of the perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus the Messiah. These are things that we're not going to get once we die and go to heaven. These are things we have right now that we can experience, that we can walk out and have that victory. So, it's Christmas time. Yay! So, you know, I broke this one day, and I'm pretty famous for keeping almost worthless stuff at my house. And so I thought, oh, I want to keep this for a message illustration. But it's like sometimes we get the picture that God the Father is up in heaven, and he takes our broken life and like somehow pieces this together. Hey, it actually fits. Well, you can tell it was outside. And he does his magic, and voila, it's done. But the scripture doesn't say that. It doesn't say, if any man is in new Christ, if any man is in Christ, he's an old, fixed up, broken vessel, which the Lord has carefully glued together. It just doesn't say that. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's like when we get born again, it's like God doesn't like change our, how do I say this? Sometimes he doesn't change our personality, you know. In some ways he does, if, you know, if there were evil bents to it, but, you know, if, you know, things are changed when we're born again, you know, and there are similarities. We go, well, that's green, this is tall, but really, we're a whole new creature. We're different in the Lord's eyes. You know, our bodies might be the same, are the same. You know, if we had a, this is kind of what I was looking for, if we had a high school education before we got born again, we still have that after we're born again. So some things don't change like that. But the essence of who we are has totally been changed and transformed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's totally different. It's not about this broken pot and vessel that the Lord has to fix. It's about getting rid of that and putting something new. Because let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit is going to indwell us and we're going to become the temple of the Holy Spirit, do you think he wants to be in this or something that's brand new that God has made? So that's one of the reasons that was in God's plan to change us and to transform us. Now, oftentimes in my life, and when I got born again, there were some things that were stuck in my head from my previous life that needed to be transformed also. I mean, some things he changed like right away. Like I had these terrible dreams as a kid and even into my teenage years where it's like my parents couldn't wake me up. You know, that's just totally demonic. After I was born again, that never even happened to me again. Never happened again. All that torturous trying to, it felt like when I thought about it, it was like a mountain was on me and I was like I couldn't move. And God totally changed me in that. But in other things, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So all the things that need to change in our lives, the Lord will help us change them as we step by step allow him to transform us. But we have an active part in that too. Because if he asks us to do things, if he asks me to do something, you know, I really try to do it. You know, like this morning, I'm on my exercise bike. I do have an exercise bike that's kind of on its last legs. The pedal's kind of loose, and I got to kind of work it a certain way. But he said to me, why don't you pray for, there's a couple groups of people I pray for during the course of the day. I don't usually do it all at once. But he says, why don't you pray for these people now? And being obedient to the Lord is being obedient even in the little things. Because, you know, he's asking me to change my order. He's asking me to change my pattern. And really, that's where brokenness, if you could say brokenness, comes in our life, where we say, you know, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to do it my way. And when we yield to him that way, that's the humility that God wants in our lives. If there's any term for brokenness used, that's the term that we need to use, that okay, Lord, you've told me to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, regardless of whether or not that's my favorite TV program that's coming out, I only watch one thing a week, or I always have that chocolate sundae on Saturday night, or whatever he's asking you to set down or put down for whatever reason, no matter how ridiculous it seems like, the Lord is very interested in the little things. So I'm actually going to see here. Hallelujah. Does that all make sense? Everybody getting something out of this? Okay, good. All right. The next step, once we know we reign in life as kings, Mark 11:23 through 26 says, How do you reign as kings? This is what kings do. It says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in your heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Okay, so if we weren't a king, what right do we have to say to a mountain, be thou removed? You know, because he puts us in that category and gives us permission to do that, we can speak to mountains. And a lot of it is, they're not literal mountains, but they're mountains in our own lives. You know, maybe habits that we're trying to break. You know, maybe sickness that's trying to attack our body. You know, maybe a financial attack that comes our way. None of these are instituted by God. But he has these things. He has this verse in place so that we can use it, so that we can, we have an option. We don't have to, you ever see those steamrollers, or not the steamrollers, but they're pavement rollers that push the asphalt down. They're like these great big metal wheels. Well, we don't have to be run over by one of those. That's the devil. The devil would say, I'm going to run you over. And he's driving his little steamroller. And, you know, it's not our job to stop him. It's not our job to, how should I say it? It's not our power that's going to stop him. It's the Lord's power that's going to stop him. So as we trust in him, and many times when I'm attacked or I just need to pray for something, I ask the Holy Spirit, how should I pray for this? How should I come against this? And lots of times it's, you know, maybe it's praying in the Spirit for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden those words come up and I start praying. And it's just like if I had sat down and tried to write out a prayer at the beginning, it wouldn't even be half of what the Holy Spirit gives me to pray. So I just want to relate to you that this is still really all of God. I mean, he asks us to do something in the natural and put our faith and trust, saying, okay, Lord, this is what you've asked me to do. That's our act. And then once we do that, the power of God comes and blows that steamroller out of our way, or makes a new path for us. And the devil goes, oh, I should have been on that path. Well, it just, the devil doesn't know those things. And it says, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. So you believe it before you even receive it. Hallelujah. You know when you pray, you ask, and you receive, and it's done. And you just thank the Lord, it's done. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Hallelujah. Okay. That leads me to the next thing, is how do I get confidence that I am a king? How do I get confidence that I can pray and the Lord will answer? You know, the only thing I can recommend is listen to the Lord, because he knows that we're dealing with our flesh in this world, and he has a definite plan that will get us from A to Z. And I think in my own life, the things, you know, there's times where I spend a lot of time in the Word of God. I've spent a lot of time in worship. And the purpose is not to do stuff and to stay busy. The purpose is to fellowship and have a relationship with the Lord. And everybody in here is at a different place with the Lord. And I would just encourage each of you just to do what he's telling you to do, but look at it from a relationship standpoint. Is the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, want me to know them better? And then in a process of knowing them better, all these things, they just expand out into your heart and your life. Like, you're a king. You know, you can pray against mountains. You know, this is where that confidence comes from, is by you spending time with the one that gives the confidence. And John 16:33 says, "And everything I taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me." So the Lord definitely wants that peace to come, but as you rest in him, that's when it's going to come. When you spend time with him, that's when it's going to come. 1 John 5:13, it says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Hallelujah. What a good verse. We all believe that. We all receive that. And then verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have what we've asked of him." So, you know, these are huge things. You know, I was thinking on the way over here that I'm no longer a citizen of the earth, but I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, it says that we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, the ambassador to Poland is not a Polish citizen. They're just an ambassador from the United States. They're a U.S. citizen. So when we got born again, we became ambassadors of heaven. That's really our true home. And no matter what we do, where we're going, what we do in our jobs, in our families, in our lives, we're a representation of Jesus to whoever we're talking to. And we have a higher business. Now, that doesn't mean we go to work and we preach to everybody, but we go to work and we listen to what the Holy Spirit says. You know, like at work, I'm just working hard. I'm just trying to do the best I can. And I know what to do. But then times where people come in and the Lord says, "Well, just share with this person." You know, and I have the freedom to do that. But I wouldn't want to, like, share with somebody for 4 hours. You know, to me, that's not the right. But I think all of us know and understand this is just kind of just reminding us that we're ambassadors. We're not just doing a job. We're not just going home and being a dad or a mom. We're going home doing things that the Lord wants us to do. And he's helping us to do them. Okay, as we get closer to the Lord, that's when we get that confidence. And then the next thing we need is, it says in 1 Peter 5:5, says, "In the same way, the younger ones should willingly support the leadership of the elders. In every relationship, each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant." Okay, and let me read the next one too. It says, "God resists you when you're proud, but multiplies grace and favor when you're humble." So humility, you know, when I look at my life, how do I grow with Christ? You know, part of it is when I first became a believer, it's just like I did like everything. You know, I ushered. You know, there was soul winning going out. I went out soul winning. There was a nursing home ministry. I went to a nursing home ministry. I mean, I don't know if God was telling me to do any of those things. It was just like, I'm a believer and I got to tell people. But as we all grow with Christ, we know that giving somebody one big shot of the gospel, that's fine if the Lord's leading you to do that and people need to hear the gospel. But I think much of our evangelism is really taking an apron and putting around us and serving people. You know, cooking those meals, going out of our way and helping somebody, helping our neighbor, you know, just doing the little things. And in a way, that's what the Lord talks about is that humility, is you're willing to say, "Not me," for a period of time and say, "This person's more important because I know you love me, Lord, and you love them, and they need that expression of your love." And that's where we are in the church today. We're in a place where it seems like Jesus, I don't want to say Jesus will show up at any time, But it's like, it feels like it's getting close, like we're going to be in eternity just real soon. And don't you want to bring everybody you can with you? Wouldn't it be a hoot, you know, to walk up to somebody 1,000 years from now and go, wow, good to see you. Haven't seen you since the planet when we were on Earth. And they say, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that gospel with me. Hallelujah, that was so right. And it's not like we can take credit for it. It's the Holy Spirit who guided us to them or put us in their life and did all the things over and over and over again and showed that love until they came to a place that God moved in their heart and caused them to be born again. So, you know, that's where it's at. You know, and look what happens. It says, if you bow low in God's awesome presence, and that's what we do when we serve one another, it says he will eventually exalt you and leave the timing in his hands. So that's the neat thing. We, in the natural, we think we're giving up something, but we're really not giving up something, because in the end, that blessing comes from the Lord. You know, he pours that out on us. So, and it says, verse 7, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you all. So, how many of you have heard that song, I Surrender All? I surrender all, everything except my cares and worries. All to you, my precious Jesus, I surrender all. You know, this is an area where we do want to surrender. We do want to surrender our cares and worries. But, you know, sometimes those cares and worries are like a piece of tape, that packing tape, like it's stuck on your fingers. You just kind of like trying to get it off. You kind of peel it. You got it off the finger, and then it's on this hand. You know, sometimes cares and worries are like that. You know, you can get them off in God's presence and God's anointing, but then you walk through the door, you wake up the next morning, it seems like they're right there. And I'm telling you, it's not that you're out of faith. It's that you're in the flesh. You know, we're all in the flesh. And it takes a moment to step out and go, okay, Lord, I'm going to stir up the Holy Spirit here. And I just thank and praise you that I took care of this yesterday and that I have the victory. You know, you haven't put aside your faith. You know, the Lord's reminding you to use your faith against those things. You know, as a child of God, it's not our place to worry or care anymore. It's just start learning how to get rid of that stuff. And none of us are perfect in those areas, but keep at it, because I can tell you in my own life, I get better and better at things as I keep at it. The Lord just gives me the wisdom to overcome the struggles I have. So, verse 8, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for his prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. So, you know, these are things the Lord in court encourages us to do. All right. Got one more passage I want to cover. First Corinthians 13. And I think finally the last part where I want to encourage each of us today is the love of God. You know, how do we get the love working in our life? You know, love is a lot like oil. You know, how many of you have tried to run your car without oil? Man, there's some times where when I've pulled over and I check the oil in my car, and it's like I can't even see it on the dipstick. It's like it's so low. And I'm just amazed that car is still running. So it must be like a quart in there or something that's able. So even a little bit of love really has an impact on a vehicle. How many of you have made like eggs in a frying pan and not put enough oil in it? Eggs are like the worst. You know, they just like, if you don't have enough oil in there, they just stick to the bottom of the pan and you're like scraping. And then you can leave that pan soak all day and come home and it's still stuck on that pan. You know, that's what the love of God is in our life, is it impacts us so much and it gets us from day to day. And the Lord, you know, where's that? Oh, right here. You know, the Lord says, be imitators of Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:1. And if we're going to be judged for anything, we're not going to be judged for the Ten Commandments. We're going to be judged by what the Lord is asking each of us to do. You know, he's going to say, well, why didn't you do this or did you do that? Because there's a judgment seat of Christ for believers. And, you know, I believe, you know, as we move forward with the Lord, I don't think of judgment at all in those terms like, oh, God, I really blew it this time. You're really going to lay it on me when I get to heaven. Yeah, I don't think those things, because it says, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the good thing about the things that we do, the mistakes, God says he separates that from him. But I think if we were to compare ourselves to anything, we'd compare ourselves to how much are we walking in the love of God, because that's what Jesus did for us. He walked in God's love to bring salvation to each one of us. And the good thing about it is, you know, some people in here might only know that much of God's love. And that's what he's asking us to reflect to other people. But he's not satisfied with us having this much love. He wants us to have more love. So it's a process. It's a process not of condemnation where we're feeling guilty because we're missing it all the time. And I've been in that place where I felt like I'm missing it all the time and I'm feeling that condemnation. But I've also learned, too, that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, so, you know, I've had the Word of God affect me that way too. But as we walk with the Lord and take the steps that he's asking us to take, we grow in the love of God. And we get to a place where we really start looking like Jesus. You know, we start looking like the Lord, his actions and what he does. You know, all that selflessness that he did, you know, by coming to the earth, by walking with men, by putting on the flesh and dealing with all the issues of the flesh that we deal with, because the Bible says he was tempted in every way like we are. So at least once he went through every temptation. But he stayed in the love of God. And this is our key as a believer. This is our key for growth, that we really start to learn how to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I loving God like I need to? Am I loving others like I need to? And one scripture I used in my own life to help me kind of focus this in was 1 Corinthians 13. And it says in verse 4, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. And, you know, one thing I'd encourage each one of us to do is to stop judging. You know, to not look at people anymore. When those thoughts come in your head, oh, he's too ugly, he's too fat, he's too dumb, you're an idiot. You know, using any of those words or even thinking those things, don't get into judgment at all. You know, take these scriptures and apply them to that situation. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous. when blessing comes to someone else, love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishness. It doesn't seek its own honor. Love is never easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. So it's like our Christian love is like this building, like the roof on this building. And it's a place where it keeps the hate and the things out, and the love protects, you know, like a roof protects from rain and the storms and all those things. That's how the Lord wants love to act in our life, as a safe shelter for people to come and to be around. So all these things are, you know, I want to say all these things are incredibly difficult to do in our own selves. You know, sometimes I think about doing things and I go, wow, that's really difficult. And then I'm reminded by the Lord that the Holy Spirit's inside of me, and all of a sudden it breaks open like, yeah, I can do that. I can love this person. Or I don't need to judge a person anymore. I don't need to think anything. You know, and I realize the thought can come in your head, but I try to deal with those things. You know, so if people make stupid mistakes, I just try to stay as neutral as possible. Because it just seems like, you know, if I do something stupid, or I see somebody do something stupid, let's say on the road, and I go, well, that's really stupid. It seems like within like 2 minutes, the same thing happens to me. You know, it's like I'm judging, and then that judgment comes. So if we can just push all that out of our lives and just ask the Lord to help us to learn how to love one another, you know, that's huge. And I think as we start there and grow forward, we start growing in these areas. Hallelujah. I do have one more little illustration. Just want to say we're not all the same. You know, God makes us in different ways and makes us different vessels. And each one of these can be used for a different purpose, except this one's going to be thrown away. But each one of these the Lord uses, they have their separate beauty. And each one of us has that separate beauty that the Lord's given us. And he's given us certain callings and talents which he's developing in each of our lives. So it is a glorious day. You know, it is a time where we can get excited that we're born again, we're in God's family, we're kings, we have the confidence that the Lord wants us to give. He's allowed us to have full access before God. We know how to humble our hearts before him and do the things he's called us to do, you know, and most of all, we know how to express his love, because he shed the love of God already in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, hallelujah. I think that's all I have for today. Thank you, Father. I just appreciate you all coming and supporting Pastor Gary, Pastor Shelley. You know, I believe that each one of us have a purpose in here, and you know, each one of you are precious before the Lord. And I'll just say that again, that the Lord loves each one of you. His grace is there for us. Don't ever get discouraged. If you do, just plug in, just dial in. He's with you, and he's ever so close to us. So thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in each of our lives and helping us bring us to this reality that you really love us and care for us. And Lord, we thank you for that specialness. And Lord, we just look forward to walking with you even more and just in enjoying you and the eternity that's coming our way. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.